the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, a show that helps you take control of your genes, live healthier, live longer, easily. And that's the great news. We're going to do a real age tip of the week at the end of this hour. And it's from a question from one of our listeners. So you can always send us a question. It actually is from a Victor. I thought it was Victoria, but it's Victor. I apologize if I said that wrong. It's from Victor in Chicago, who writes, I'm allergic to aspirin. What can I take instead to lower my heart attack risk? My father died at age 57 of heart attack. I am 55. Victor, we'll get to that at the end of the show, by the end of the show, and we'll get to it as a, quote, tip of the week, because it is such an important question. Now, what I wanted to talk about is some of the best news stories of the week, and one of those brought to us is the contradictory nutrition news creates consumer confusion. I saw a study by Gallup poll that in fact most people thought it was easier to do their taxes than to understand nutrition. Bridget, what can you shed on that from news this week?
So that is absolutely true, and I know that the International Food Information Council also did a survey that found similar findings about the taxes being easier for people than 60% of people found that taxes were easier. This new study confirms that. They looked at 631 adults who participated in a survey, and they asked them about four different nutrition topics that they'd heard about any kind of conflicting or contradictory information from any media, newspapers, the internet, television, anything that any social media about red wine and other alcohol, fish, coffee, and then the fourth category was vitamins or other supplements. And what they found was that 71% of the people that they surveyed said that they heard moderate or high levels of contradictory information about any of these nutrition categories. Now, the interesting
thing... What that really means is that people are agreeing that nutrition news does create confusion in them, right? That was the question they said. Have you heard information about these four subjects, coffee, red wine, alcohol, and vitamins and supplements that was confusing to you? And the answer was 71% of them said yes, right?
Yes. And I bet you that if you did a survey and you expanded it even further than those four topics, that the results would be consistent, because I think that people in general are confused across the board about nutrition in general, whether it's GMOs, organic, coffee, fish oil, supplements. There's so many things that a lot of different people have different opinions about and are hearing different information from different people. So they found in this specific study that the confusion was slightly associated with less intention to exercise or eat fruits and vegetables. I think that because people are so confused and they don't know what's right, they're steering away from established good habits like eating fruits and vegetables and exercising because they just don't know what to do.
Go ahead, Bridge. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I think that it's a huge problem that's basically stemming from, the article says that it seems to stem from journalists not explaining that research is constantly evolving and maybe not focusing on just a single study, because sometimes one study will contradict what another study finds. But I honestly think that a lot of the confusion comes from everyone thinking that they're an expert and entitled to give nutrition information, and a lot of the mommy bloggers and different websites that have a lot of followers and are trying to promote juice diets, cleanses, all of these crazy things, but a lot of people are buying into it, and I think that that's a problem. I think that the other problem is that a lot of times journalists don't know how to interpret scientific studies. So the people that are writing the articles for a lot of these mainstream news stations don't know what these associations even mean, and let alone like how to interpret them and then send out this message to a wide audience.
So it's key. What's key is the Mediterranean diet has been shown again, and this week was shown to decrease peripheral artery disease. It is one. It is the diet, and basically, it is the you on a diet. What we have there, all you have to do is avoid the five food felons. Everything else is good, and take a variety of the best colorful things. The Mediterranean diet. What are the five food felons to avoid? Saturated fat, that's four-legged animal fat, two-legged animal skin, palm and coconut oil. And by the way, tomorrow, if you want to make a great, and I shouldn't say tomorrow because some of these stations run it on Sunday and some run it on Monday. So, and I should welcome a new station, WELW 1330 in Cleveland. But in any case, when you're having want to have French fries for someone as something to chew on or eat on, the best way of making them, take some asparagus and cut it into French fry length. Put it in, mix it with a little olive oil and some rosemary or basil, whatever flavor you want. Then put it on a cookie sheet, roast it at 275. Can take up to 25 to 45 minutes depending on the oven. Turn it once and get it a golden brown, and it will taste just, and have the person you're feeding it to close their eyes. When you give it to them, it will taste just like French fries. So, and this time it's healthy. Another study that another article this week that hopes to simplify that nutrition information is that the FDA says what?
That they are going to be making over the nutrition facts label.
So they're going to make it over. They haven't told us how, but we think they're going to put on added sugars versus other sugars. I was there the day that David Kessler got approval from the White House to do the first nutrition label. He was literally jumping for joy. I couldn't understand why he was jumping for joy. It's clear why he was jumping for joy, because the more information we have, the better choices we can make. And many of us make that kind of choice now. We don't know what the nutrition label is, but we think it's going to have more information on exactly which fats you're having, whether it's omega-3 or omega-6, and whether there's going to be added sugar or the sugar is inherent. The sugars that are inherent in the item obviously get absorbed slower, so they're less risky for you. That may not be obvious, but it is for those of us in the field. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that to add to that, separating the sugars would be an amazing thing for them to do. In addition, I think that adding the percentage of whole wheat or whole grain to the label would also be extremely beneficial, or at least doing away with allowing products to say advertise as being whole grain if they're only 51%. I think that it should only be allowed if they're 100%.
For example, if you can have, it's a good source of whole grain when it's got 15%. And made with whole grain when it's got as little as, I think, 7 or 8%. So, in fact, what you're saying is, if you actually had that percentage, if you had whether the sugar is added or not, we could make better decisions, and we think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I hope so. I think that it would make it much easier for people, and then they wouldn't have to spend so much time looking through the food labels, because a lot of people that go grocery shopping, a lot of parents that go grocery shopping or grocery shopping with their kids and have little time to be flipping around all the packages. So hopefully they'll come up with an idea that makes it easier for people to just identify what's healthy and what's not. And maybe more grocery stores picking up the Go Healthy Foods label at the Cleveland Clinic, because that's the best way to know whether your food is healthy or not.
Right, it's pretty easy if you've got the Go label on the food or on the store liner, those things where it has price alongside the food. If it has the Go label on it, you know it's healthy. We should also say that, and I haven't said so far, anyone who wants to email us or email a question.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. We're now in my favorite segment of the show. But before we get there, if you want to ask us a question, anything, just email us at udocs@gmail.com like Victor did about his aspirin allergy and what he should do about it, and can he still take aspirin for his heart attack protection, or what are his alternatives? We'll cover that in about 30 minutes. But now is my favorite section of the show. That's because I learned so much. Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com is the website. What's toxic, what's not is this segment. And is fracking toxic, Gary?
Well, there still needs to be a lot of research into it. And, you know, as fracking, as the extraction of natural gas wells increases in this country and all around the world, we're going to see a lot more study of the issue. And right now, one of the early studies to come out on this is from the University of Colorado. They looked at 50,000 births in rural Colorado, and those people that were living in counties that had more fracking going on, those mothers tended to give birth to 2 times higher rate of neural tube defects, which is a very serious birth defect. So it's a somewhat alarming finding. However, before everybody goes crazy and says that fracking is causing this, it's just an association. There was no measurement of actual exposure to anything. So,
and it may be that people in rural Colorado don't take prenatal vitamins, or it may be something else. And it may be, as we often say, and I hope it is, in fact, a fireman issue. You know, if you go and look at who sets fires or what causes fires, you always find firemen at fires. So you'd say, well, maybe it's the firemen. But in fact, that's an association study just like this one is. And it may be that they just aren't taking prenatal vitamins or something else that would help reduce this.
There was an association between the number of fracking wells in an area and neural tube defects, but right now there is no actual mechanism and there's no actual exposure that one can point to and say X chemical is coming in the air or coming in the groundwater or coming through the soil gas into these mothers' homes that would be creating it. So it's what we call in epidemiology a hypothesis generating study. So it raises the question marks, which will prompt more research, and either it will be replicated and better explained. But unfortunately, these kinds of studies grab a lot of headlines. And so where it's intriguing to us scientists, and we certainly want to see more, sometimes it's easy to overinterpret them. So we have to be cautious, but we also have to be cautious with fracking and make sure that it is a state-of-the-art, you know, that we're not just running around pell-mell drilling and not taking the precautions needed to safeguard the deep groundwater and to safeguard the air quality, because some of those chemicals can get up into the atmosphere as they're extracting them out of these injection wells.
I've got to tell you that Kathy I, who's listening to us from Australia, no less, has said it's probably just because the people in those rural Colorado areas are using more medical marijuana.
It's interesting to see what news makes it around the globe, and certainly Colorado is becoming famous for not just medical marijuana, but legalizing the recreational use of it.
Was really specific, saying this had to happen in the past. So it must have been medical marijuana in those rural counties. What is used? There's another question from an Albert. He said, do we even know what chemicals are used in fracking?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good question. There are literally hundreds of different chemicals that are needed to help with the drilling, help with lubrication of the whole process, help in the extraction of the gas. And they tried to pull those chemicals back out of the ground, and then they have wastewaters with some chemicals. But inevitably, some of those chemicals will end up in the ground. But yes, there are things like benzene, which we know is a carcinogen that's used in these situations. There's a lot of chemicals of concern that if they were left at high concentration in somebody's drinking water, including some flammable chemicals, it would certainly be a concern. So that's why all the precautions need to be taken. And we also have to keep in mind that these fracking wells go very deep in the ground, usually deeper than where we drink the water from.
Now, there's another item that hit the wire, and I was really surprised with all the idling cars on the Atlanta freeway that we didn't hear of someone dying from inhaled idle, if you will. But kids are getting exposed to it and getting lung disease from this at school stop-offs. Is that right?
Yeah. Now, let me just touch base with your first comment about storms and people getting stuck on freeways. And there is a concern that you could freeze to death in your car, or you could be overcome with carbon from idling. And a lot of cars idling, you could get an overdose of monoxide from sitting in your car with it running and the heater on. So it is not good to sit for long periods of time in an idling car. But this story is about the school kids who get dropped off. Now, in the old days, you know, when I was a little tyke, I would either walk to school with my older brother or we would take the school bus. And the school bus, you know, is a fairly efficient way to traffic children to school. But these days, oftentimes there's the individual drop-off. And so you have these long lines. You have school buses, and they might only be half full. And then you've got this long line of traffic of parents trying to get their kids to the school. And the traffic jams around the drop-off in the morning and the pickup in the afternoon can be pretty monstrous. And you have this cloud of smog and air pollution right where you don't want it, where there's little lungs trying to grow up and breathe and recreate and learn. And so the studies are now coming in that all the idling buses, and that's a lot of diesel exhaust, as well as all the car traffic, is leading to asthma and more lung disease in children because of this exact problem. So there's a lot of states have no idling laws for their buses, and especially on school grounds. And that's very important. If your town, your state doesn't have that, you certainly want to at least make sure the diesel buses aren't doing a lot of idling. And the other thing is you want to encourage people to have their children take the school bus to cut down on those traffic jams.
Now, Gary, the other part of this, I've got to put it to you, since you're an official in the state of Connecticut, do you have an idling law?
We absolutely do, yes. And
is it enforced?
That is, you know, okay, so there's two things about that. One is that town by town, there are grants that go out to the towns so that they can replace their diesel buses with natural gas buses, which are much less polluting. But the enforcement requires parents, citizens, to call the state and say where they see an idling bus. The state will come. They'll give a warning. The second time, they will find the bus company. So, yes, but they can't go and police every location. So it's up to the citizens to say, you know, there's a lot of exhaust here. These buses are not obeying the no idling. I believe you can idle for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then you have to turn off the engine, which can be tough this time of the year.
We've been listening to Gary Ginsberg, the best at what's toxic, what's not. What'stoxic.com is the website. Gary Ginsberg, always great information. And my favorite segment, is that right? It is whatstoxic.com? I think we lost it. Thanks very much, Gary. We'll be with you again next week. And then the next segment, we're going to tell you the 7 things not to do if you're sleep deprived. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance. And that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to greatstartgtl.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at greatstartgtl.com. That's greatstartgtl.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to greatstartgtl.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an APGAR score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Geez, I'm getting hoarse. That hoarseness won't occur for a while because my hoarseness is due to overzealous yelling or cheering or it actually was yelling at my home team, Cleveland Cavaliers, who have dysfunction in their ranks, if you will. So that may be part of the cause of my hoarseness in this show. Bridget, one of the things that, and the second one, is that I'm a little sleep deprived because I had to get up for a very early plane in order to make it to my next stop so that we could do the radio show. You're getting too little sleep when we should fill in the blank. One of the things is you are asleep before you hit the pillow. So you really, it should take some time to get to sleep. You know you're getting too little sleep when, Bridget?
When you drive and are falling asleep at the light.
Right. If you fall asleep at the light, you're getting too little sleep. When you're tired, crabby, hungry, and forgetful, and when you crave food or drink or sex, those are things that are all together in your brain, and what you will crave one of the others if you don't get enough of each. So a little bit of extra sleep goes a long way. Dr. Lang and I in the preventive medicine department at the Cleveland Clinic both have decided over the last 2 years to go to bed an hour earlier so we make sure we get enough sleep. The question is, what are seven things you shouldn't do when you're sleep deprived? So Bridge, go ahead, take one.
Yep, these are good, I thought. So the first is driving, because sleepy drivers are a risk to all of the other drivers on the road. And a researcher from Henry Ford Hospital Sleep Disorders and Research Center said that from experimental studies, they've found that just 4 hours of sleep loss can produce an impairment that's similar to driving after drinking a six-pack, which is pretty incredible when you think about it.
Right, and in fact, we did this. This was done by a guy named Lance Lichter at the the University of Chicago, did this before and found that, in fact, if you stayed up for 24 hours, it was the equivalent of your drinking with a blood alcohol level of 0.8. If you stayed up for 36 hours, we had transplant surgeons who were part of the volunteer, it was the equivalent of you having a 0.16 alcohol level, very inebriated. And if you stayed up for 48 hours, it was 0.25. It was as though you were making a random decision. And that changed a lot of what transplant surgeons do, in fact, of that. And that goes to a second thing, which is you shouldn't make important decisions. There is a biologic reason for something seems like a good idea when you're tired may not actually be the best bet. In a 2011 study, researchers observed increased brain activity in areas that assess positive outcomes after sleep deprivation, and decreased activity in things that warn you about negative outcomes. Thus, you're more likely to make decisions that you seem are good because you think of the positive, but in fact, there's a substantial negative that you don't weigh. Okay, now Bridge, let's go to the next one. What's the third thing you shouldn't do?
Go grocery shopping, which is a huge one. They found in one study that people end up, when they're sleep deprived and shopping, that they purchase more and higher calorie foods than they would have if they had slept well the night before. And we actually covered that study when it came out. They found that the men in the study loaded their carts with 9% more calories and 18% more grams of food after a night of little sleep. And it's likely to do, well, there's a lot of things that are probably going on, but mainly people drive to eat more after sleeping less because of higher levels of ghrelin and lower levels of leptin.
So, and another one is you shouldn't do online shopping because you're impulsively likely to choose things that are more expensive than you would. So it isn't just groceries that are affected. It is your impaired judgment after a night of inadequate sleep. Give me another one.
Grab an energy drink. So instead of grabbing an energy drink, if you need to stay awake, it's better to take a brisk walk or a nap, if that's feasible with your schedule, instead of jolting up on an energy drink because of the risks associated with drinking energy drinks.
But in fact, caffeine or coffee is fine. Have the real stuff, not the decaffeinated stuff. Don't brag about it. That's number six. Why? Because nothing fosters unhealthier sleep climate than participating in what editor-in-chief of the Huffington Post, Arianna Huffington, says is sleep-deprived one-upmanship. In reality, a very select few of us are actually short sleepers, meaning very few of us can get by on just 4 hours a night. The rest of us should help change the conversation about sleep by being more aware of how important it is. And the last thing, Bridget?
The last thing is to not pick a fight, because, and I'm sure that many of the listeners can identify with this, after not sleeping well the night before, you're more likely to be highly emotional from not sleeping. So a lot of times you will overreact or handle situations or a fight in a different way. So maybe waiting until you sleep well to pick a fight with your partner or your friend or your roommate or whoever.
Okay. We're going to take a question from Victor as our tip of the week. I'm just going to start with the question, not give you the answer, but the question is, Victor, who is 55 and says his father died at 57 and an uncle died at 57. So he said, I'm close. I need aspirin. What can I take instead to lower my heart attack risk? Because I think I'm allergic to aspirin. You can always send us questions at udocs@gmail.com. That's udocs@gmail.com. And if I don't know the answer and Google doesn't know it easily either, we'll find it from another expert. In any case, Victor will get his answer when we come back from the break. We're also going to talk about what you should do if you're stressed by the work-life balance. And you had another favorite one, Bridge, and I'm forgetting it. I think it is, does rinsing fruit make a difference? And which fruits should we rinse or not? And how do you rinse them to make a difference? You listen
you
to
you,
the Owner's Manual radio show on Health Radio, on, I'm sorry, on RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual radio show on RadioMD.com, which is Stay Well. We also have a number of stations, and a new one just joined us this week, WELW in and around Cleveland at 1330 on the dial. When you're out of the local area, for example, you're not in Syracuse, you're in Sarasota, and you want to hear what's on the radio show, like Joe Galuski probably does right now, he's listening on RadioMD.com. But of course, there are big stations in Florida, in Tampa and Orlando, as well as I think one in Venice that carries their show. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show, and answer Victor's question. Radio MD, stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. If you want to send us a question, all you do is email us at udocs, UDOCS, at gmail.com. And I'm just checking that now. But in fact, we got a question earlier today from Victor while we were talking to Dr. David Angus about aspirin. And he wrote, "I'm allergic to aspirin. What can I take instead to lower my heart attack risk?" And Victor said, "Victor, the answer is, well, before we do that, let's do the Real Age Tip of the Week music." I love that music. Roughly 10% of people, Victor, are allergic to non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs such as aspirin. You probably know non-steroidal as ibuprofen or naproxen, but in fact, the original non-steroidal is willow bark or aspirin. It's nothing to sneeze at. This allergy can trigger breathing trouble and anaphylaxis. That's a severe reaction that can be fatal. However, there are other much safer substances for you, like aspirin, that decrease inflammation. DHA omega-3s, so you want DHA and you want 900 milligrams a day of it. Lycopene, lutein, vitamin D3, coffee, caffeine, yes, really small amounts of that, alcohol even, decrease inflammation. Omega-7, so you want a purified palmitoleic acid, not pure, a purified one, 420 milligrams of it. Physical activity and brightly colored fruits and veggies. So protecting your heart isn't all that aspirin does, as you heard from Dr. David Angus. Physical, it protects against colon, prostate, esophageal, breast, ovarian cancer, liver cancer, a whole, excuse me, 9 cancers it protects against. So we take, Dr. Oz and I both take 281 milligrams or 162 milligrams of aspirin a day. Don't miss a day. And by the way, when I'm traveling on a plane like I did today, I make sure I take it with 2 glasses of water beforehand, because you want to be fully hydrated when you go up in the plane. You don't want to clot from standing still. And so the aspirin an hour beforehand or 2 hours beforehand, plus the 2 glasses of water is key. So we hope it's possible for you to take aspirin. But if you can't, do all those other things, the DHA omega-3, lycopene, which is found in tomatoes and in watermelon, lutein, vitamin D3, coffee, small amounts of alcohol, physical activity, and as many brightly colored fruits and veggies as you can. Bridge, you had another story you wanted to talk about, and that is, should we rinse those brightly colored fruits and veggies?
Yes, I loved this story.
Well, go ahead. Should we rinse them? Which ones make a difference? Do you rinse it in warm water, cold water? Do you rinse it with detergent? Do you rinse it with Clorox? What do you do? What's the problem? Is it the pesticides, or is it the dirt and bacteria?
Wow, so many questions. Okay. If I don't answer all of them, you might have to fill in a couple gaps. But basically, the article, they interviewed Michael Doyle, who's a professor of food microbiology at the University of Georgia. And he said that the 2 issues that would lead people to wash their fruits and vegetables is are pesticides and microorganisms. So what most people don't realize is that pesticides are less of a concern. That studies have been conducted and show that pesticide contaminants tend to be low enough that we're not really concerned about them in terms of health risk. The really serious issue is our microorganisms, and these are specifically Salmonella, Listeria, and certain strains of E. coli that cause a lot of foodborne illness. A lot of people actually, you get your risk of foodborne illness is higher from eating fruits and vegetables than eating meat or poultry. I'm pretty sure that spinach is the number one culprit. So washing produce with tap water is good to reduce pesticides and bacteria that might be lingering in the vegetables. And there's no need to excessively wash it, because that doesn't really show to improve it much more. What is key is buying a head of lettuce instead of a cut bag lettuce, even if the bag says it's been double washed or triple washed. The microorganisms can make their way into the bags or into the water at the plant that's making the or preparing the bags. So it's better to get your own heads of lettuce and to remove the outer leaves and then rinse the remaining leaves that are inside. And that also goes for fresh herbs like basil, rosemary, cilantro, and parsley. A lot of times people don't necessarily think to wash those, but those should be washed as well. So then for the bleaching or vinegar or lemon juice, like you asked about, those are fine to rinse fruits and vegetables in, but they aren't likely to kill all harmful bacteria or microorganisms that are present. So in hot temperatures also don't really make a difference. The biggest thing that the professor recommends is removing the peel from the outside to eliminate any of those microorganisms that might be on the outside of your cucumber, your carrot. So peeling your carrot, peeling your cucumber, and then just rinsing everything under tap water for 20 seconds.
Now, one of the things that I learned in doing research on this study today is that lemon, you know, though I often see lemon or lime put in drinks and in water, And it turns out that when you put in that outer part of the lemon, they aren't scrubbed well in most restaurants. And in fact, right. in the test that they did, 71% of the samples of water that had a lemon or lime in it were highly contaminated with bacteria. So my own point of view is I'm going away from using lemons and limes in water, and obviously for my own self, when I have seafood with it, you can squeeze the lime juice or lemon juice, or you can scrub the lemon and lime and use it that way. So obviously at home I'm going to scrub them, but in a restaurant I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask for lime juice. You can't wear a glove when you do it, right? You can't squeeze it and then go out and wash your hands before you eat the fish. So, and I like a lot of fish with lemon and lime juice on it. So
right,
I'm going to be in a dilemma.
Point.
You see, after I read this story, I said, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm going to have more mustard crusted salmon. You've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Bridget and Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well, and we'll be back next week.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA, TakeOmega.com.